Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting.
I'm Chris Bannon.
And I'm Lex Friedman.
And today our guest is Leela Day. She is senior producer at Pineapple Street Media, as well as the host of the Stoop podcast. But before we get to Leela, Lex, I think you have something you want to say.
Well, we have a little business to take care of, and that's shows we're jealous of, where get to highlight the shows we like that aren't mid-roll shows. You always go first. I'm going to go first. I know you didn't pick mine. I think typically when we do the segment of shows we're jealous of, people listen to it as maybe a show recommendation. Like maybe there are shows they haven't heard of yet. Mm-hmm. It's an undiscovered gem. This week, that's not my selection. I'm picking a very obvious and very popular show, but that I hadn't listened to in ages. And recently I hit, you know, not inbox zero, but podcasting app zero, where I had nothing. And I was like, you know, I've got nothing to listen to and I've got a long commute. I'm going to go back to This American Life. And I have been going through the past month or so worth of episodes, and I have been thoroughly enjoying it. It's not news to anybody that American Life is good, but, you know, I had been off it for a little while because, you know, there's so much content there. I had so little time, but somehow I got caught up on everything. It was basically many very long drives. I did like 6 hours in the car and caught up between that and the commute to the city. Anyway, This American Life is still really good. So I'm just putting that out there.
I think that's a great, in fact, I was talking to somebody else about how great it is and how I never find time to listen to it anymore. And I think it's, unfortunately, it's like the greatest background noise ever made in a way right now, because there's so much content that, you know, we're trying to keep up as part of work and that we're also doing a little bit for pleasure. And the fail-safe quality go-to podcast really is This American Life. You can tune into it at any time and you'll get amazing journalism and storytelling and just wit and sadness and all kinds of great things. So that's, I applaud exactly your choice.
Thank you.
And it's good for you.
Some really good stuff.
My choice is a new Panoply show called Empire on Blood that I just started listening to today.
That thing catapulted up the charts when it launched.
And I feel like it's going to be a great, exciting listen. Andy Bowers from Panoply actually told me about it last week, and he was practically trembling in his seat with anticipation about how we would all like it. And he was right. The journalist, the host is Steve Fishman, who did that Madoff series for Audible. And he really approaches the story with incredible passion. He has a personal stake that he puts out right at the beginning of the show that makes it really, really gripping as a listen. And I hope you'll take a listen to that. I know I'm going to listen to all the other episodes as soon as I can.
Wow, that's awesome.
All right. Do you want to reintroduce our guest? She's probably gone off and done something else while we've been talking.
Leela, we didn't forget you. Before we talk more about you, are there any podcasts out there that you're jealous of? Any show you want to highlight?
You know, one podcast that I've been into lately is called The World According to Sound. Hmm. And it's this podcast which has like barely any speaking in it. It's 90 seconds, right? And it's just sounds, like sounds from around the world, mud pots and ants crawling on microphones, and just like the sounds that are, you know, just unheard of sounds. So I've been kind of into just listening to sound.
Who makes it?
It's made by two producers, Chris Hoff and the other producer, I forgot the name, but one of them is Chris Hoff.
Okay.
they're Bay Area-based producers.
That sounds marvelous. And tell me, when do you choose to listen to it? Like, does it serve some function in your life?
I mean, for me, it just, like, I feel like I've been listening to it at work, you know, when I'm sitting at the computer just before I start to get into something. It's just like I'll turn it on and just listen to some random sound from around the world. I think it's just a little bit relaxing for me just to not hear words.
Oh, yes, I agree.
I often wish Chris would do the same here. Leela, it's a great suggestion. Thank you. Leela Day, you are the senior producer at Pineapple Street Media. You're the co-host of the Stoop podcast, stories from the Black diaspora that aren't talked about enough. Well, thank you again for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, as the song reminds me. tell me how you've had a varied career, and we'll go into the various parts of it, but you got into audio how? What was the magic door through which you walked?
Yeah, so I got into audio, I had heard about the SALT Institute for Documentary Studies, which is an audio training program in Maine. I actually went to that program for 3 months to understand how to make radio, because I had no idea how to make radio. I just remember hearing a This American Life story, as we all have you know, had these moments, these driveway moments. And I just remember hearing a story and thinking, like, I really want to be able to make something like that. And I start researching, like, how do I learn? I honestly had no idea. I didn't even know what Pro Tools was. And I learned there.
And what were you doing before that? How did you, I think I read somewhere that you spent 4 years in Cuba. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. Way before radio, I lived in Havana and I lived there and I was learning Spanish and I started working for an organization that brought students to Cuba to travel mm-hmm. and learn Spanish and to learn Afro-Cuban dance. So I sort of coordinated this program and I'd receive groups every month. And yeah, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And that's kind of when I started dabbling in journalism. Like I was writing in my journal about my experiences as an American living in Cuba. And I told the newspaper I was doing that, the Cuban national newspaper. And they said, oh, why don't you do a little column? So I started kind of doing print first. And it was like opinion articles about living in Cuba.
Now, our crack researcher, Harry, tells us that your first real journalism job involved going to Haiti. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. So after Cuba, and I started trying to get jobs in print and realized like there was no money in it when I was looking. I mean, this was years ago, but I was like having problems. I was like, this is not going to happen for me. So someone had said, you know, there's this opportunity to go to Haiti with Wyclef Jean. And do you remember back in the day, like Wyclef was all about going back to Haiti right after like the devastating like hurricanes and the earthquakes and things.
Earthquake.
So it was after an earthquake that he wanted to go back there and show that he could like build bridges because there was a lot of gang activity happening and it was just things were in flux. And so a magazine said, you know, they were sending Wyclef and had asked if, you know, me and a friend, a colleague of mine who's also now a journalist, wanted to go. And we said, sure, we'll cover it. We had no idea what that meant. we were both like print. We didn't know anything about, you know, radio at the time. And we went there and, you know, we went with him to deliver rice to an area that was devastated by an earthquake. We went with him to talk to gang leaders to sort of like settle things down in areas that were really, really violent. And we went to this neighborhood called Bel Air, and it was one of the roughest neighborhoods in Haiti at that time. And we were just told, like, a lot of reporters were there from all these different outlets, and me and my friend were there, like, just these really green, very green reporters trying to figure out what to do. And they just said, stick with Wyclef. Just follow, make sure you stick with him. Of course, we got separated. There was people running through the streets. It was absolutely insane. And then the next thing we knew, like, we were told to put our hands in the air and had, you know, guns pointed at us by men in masks. So I remember that because it was a time where I was with some other reporters who were with me, and I remember how scared they were, and they were very seasoned.
Yeah.
And I was just terrified. And it was a moment where I realized, like, I'm not sure if I'm built for this. I know I'm not built for this type of reporting, you know?
But you persisted. You did it, right? I mean, the interesting thing is that a lot of people would have that experience and go back to doing what they were doing before, but you went further into journalism.
I did. I mean, I felt like I was thinking, like, I'm not sure if I'm built for this type of kind of reporting where mm-hmm. it is so, you know, intense and in a sort of war zone. Like, I didn't think that that was what I wanted to do, although the adrenaline and the excitement of it was, you know, insane. I realized, like, I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I think I want my first story to be about people in their 90s that are still sexually active, which actually happened to be one of my first radio pieces.
So did that story was just an accident? The story about people who were sexually active in their 90s, is that just you happened on a randy 93-year-old and decided there's something here?
No, I just had this, you know, the thing with like making stories is that you can just have these thoughts and be like, I wonder if, and so I just had this thought, like, I wonder if people over 90 are still like totally
doing it,
doing it. Right, doing it. I mean, I was just wondering. I mean, we always like try to push that image out of our minds and things like that. And I was like, I really want to understand. So when I went to SALT to do my first radio piece, I talked to a gerontologist who said, I know 90-year-olds that are still having sex. So I met this couple, and I was so nervous to ask them about their sexual activities. So I went to them for 2 days and just asked them about their books and their house and all these other things and avoided the question. And finally, I asked the woman, you know, are you still sexually active, you know, in your 90s? And she said, honey, my peachy doesn't flutter anymore, but something in my heart does. And I was like, oh, damn.
You've just planted damn. A couple of seeds that are going to distract me for the rest of the day, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but that's how it went.
It's interesting to me that you have this series of experiences in which you kind of dive into communities that are very different from the one that you've come from. And I wonder if that's a pattern that's continued in your life, and if you maybe if is that sort of your beat in a way?
I think that like my beat is trying to understand, yeah, communities and areas that I don't come from, because that interests me to understand a story. Like, I don't want to just be reporting all the time on things that I'm very familiar with, although those stories do come very easy for a lot of people. I just like to like learn, you know. And I think that like some of the stories that I've done like more internationally were and even about, you know, the older couple, it was like this idea of like, well, that could be me one day, and I want to understand like where, you know, where yeah. that story goes.
So
you know?
It's empathy. It's empathy that drives a lot of your storytelling, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. One of the stories that I'm working on right now it's a really hard story for me to do, but it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, which was, you know, I might look at a statistic like that Black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth than when compared to white women. And that statistic stuck out with me. A lot of people say, where do you get your story ideas from? It's like, well, I read this statistic and I thought, like, why? You know, why does this happen? And I have a sister who lost a baby, and it was really traumatic for our family. So the story that I'm working on right now is about trying to understand that statistic through the story of my sister, having very personal conversations with her. So there are things like that like drive me. Like, I feel like I could tell this story and it'll help other women understand like what to be looking out for. And it'll help people heal in a way that have been dealing with loss, which I dealt with loss, and it's kind of helped me heal to make that type of story.
I know that you mentioned already that you love learning, and that's part of what drives you on these stories that you're pursuing. It looks like in your job history, you've also taught, right? And I believe that you taught a part of the San Quentin radio program. Can you tell us about that?
I did, yeah. So San Quentin actually has this media lab, and in it they have Pro Tools, and they have about 4 or 5 computers. About 5 years ago, Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods, they run Ear Hustle podcast out of San Quentin State Prison. And Nigel had actually come to KALW, the radio station I worked at, and said, you know, I want to do radio pieces and help the guys produce pieces, but she didn't have the skills to do it. So I went in with a couple of producers, and we taught script writing and voicing and how to put a story together and how to find a story. And we produced over 30-something stories with the guys there. They won journalism awards from Society of Professional Journalists. They all became parts of that organization. They're super proud. And then, you know, after that, Nigel had decided that she wanted to start Ear Hustle podcast and do like longer form. But that program continues on where these guys make radio pieces in the prison.
I'm curious, if you don't mind weighing in, you know, all the people, so this is probably sort of a trick question, but I loved Ear Hustle. I thought it was one of the best podcasts last year that came out. But I'm wondering if you feel, since you have pretty extensive experience with the prison population there and the ways in which we tell stories, was that show fair and representative? Should I, as a listener, How should I feel about it? Tell me, I guess. I'm looking for a little guidance.
How should you feel about it?
I mean, should I believe it? Or are there things I should ask questions about as a listener?
No, the stories are genuine and authentic stories. I mean, I think that's what's so amazing about that podcast is that the guys are coming up with their own stories and making them, right? So they aren't even into like the theatrics of it. I mean, they don't even listen to a lot of podcasts or have access to listen to how a lot of other things are made. I mean, if someone brings something in for them to listen, it has to go through approval process. It has to be listened to beforehand before they can listen. So it's not like they're
That's
sitting
why they never
there
hear this
like
show. It can't get past that screener. That's the problem.
Yes. The show's on block. So I mean, it's not like that in any sense, and they're coming up with their own ideas. I think it's a really great, it's a really amazing, you know, podcast, and they're doing good things. Yeah, I think as a listener, yeah, it's definitely genuine.
Okay, good. I felt that way, but you've been inside it. I'm curious too, what you think making podcasts has done for the prisoners in San Quentin. How have you seen it, if you've seen it, change the way they look at the world or themselves?
Yeah. I'm out of like all of the things that I've done and the pieces that I've made, I've edited so many and worked with so many reporters and worked on really great stories. Like the thing that fulfills me the most is working with those guys in San Quentin, because they put so much of their time and energy into these stories. And it's totally changed the lives of so many people. Like they have a goal and they feel like they're making a difference and they feel like people are listening. And they edit their pieces, they mix them, you know, they're very, very into the whole process. And when they received Lewis A. Scott, who is actually in one of the Ear Hustle episodes, and his brother is in prison, in the same prison with him, you know, he received an award for a story that we worked on together, and he was just beaming, you know, and just so proud. And I think that's what's just so amazing about storytelling and radio. Like the stories that they think are benign are like the most amazing ones. Like when I'm like, who cuts your hair? And they're like, oh, some guy in the middle of the yard. I'm like, you can get your hair cut in the middle of the yard? What do you guys talk about? And they're like, oh, we talk about our sisters and our brothers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, but it's like so fascinating to me. And I'm just like, well, you know, is that the one time that a man is like, that you get touched by someone? And they're like, maybe, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So other than that, you're not really touching anyone. And so it's like, and then, you know, you can bring that up, like that question, and they're like, no, I never thought about it that way. But yeah, yeah. And it's not like a gay thing, Leela. You know, they're not like, they're very, you know, but it is like a touch, you know? And so there's things like that that come out of like these stories, like looking at it from a different angle.
And we have to go to a break in just a minute, but I want to squeeze one question in before we do. And that's about the KALW Audio Academy, because I know related to the work you're doing at San Quentin, you're also mentoring people in a very different environment outside of the prison. But tell me a little bit about why that's important to you, or what you feel you're doing in this whole part of your life that involves teaching people, and maybe give us a few details about the academy that KALW is sponsoring.
So yeah, at KALW, I was a mentor there. I'm not with KALW right now, but I definitely am still always pushing people to do this program, which is free, the Audio Academy at the radio station. And I've mentored many students that have come through. A lot of them have come through because they're really drawn to community-driven journalism and radio. They listen to the radio. I mean, that's how they heard. They actually still listen
Thank
to the radio.
God.
I know, right? What would we do if people just stopped listening to the radio? That's another show. But yeah, they love like reporting. Mm-hmm. They love that type of storytelling. So they're not really here to be the next big, you know, podcast celebrity. Mm-hmm. They're really trying to understand how to do reporting. And so the program it's 8-month program and it's free. And they have people that leave the program to go on working for like amazing news outlets and organizations. So It's been an amazing experience for me.
So is there one thing that you feel like when you see these students come in that you really have to make sure you address in training them? There's one or two common problems that people carry in with them when they begin this work and don't yet have any practice or anyone to mentor them?
I think that there's a couple things. I think when people start radio, they aren't aware of the journalism side of it, like the fact checking and the, you know, being able to source your stories correctly and be able to stand by, you know, what you're reporting and be able to deal with the backlash. Like those are things like people aren't prepared for, mm-hmm. I think, a lot of times. And then when it comes to podcasting, I think a lot of people aren't prepared for what it takes to build a podcast if you aren't supported by a network, right? You're basically building your own business.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to marketing and partnerships and how are you going to pay for this, like those are things that people don't think about. They think about the fun of making a story, right?
Yeah. Except when we're doing this show, and then I think, how can I get more questions in than Lex?
Yes, it's competition. Well, so the next, we have to cover more chapters of your life like Al Jazeera and Pineapple in the Stoop. But before we do that, we do have to take a break, like Chris warned. So we'll be right back with more after this. Want to grow your business but don't know how? Yes. Start by building meaningful relationships with your current customers and learning how to identify new ones. How do you do that? I'd like to tell you about ACT. That's ACT, exclamation point. ACT, can you hear the exclamation point when I say it? ACT has been trusted by small businesses for over 30 years and grows your business by making every customer interaction count. It maintains customer information in a single place for quick access, whether you're in the office or on the go. And it drives new sales with powerful email marketing to help you close deals faster. Want innovation? ACT is the first in the industry to launch voice-activated technology that allows you to interact with Amazon Alexa through simple voice commands. ACT does all of this and more for as low as $1 a day. Try ACT today. Go to ACT.com for a free trial or call 888-643-6400. Mention this podcast, that's The Wolf Den, for a free Amazon Echo Dot with any new subscription. See details online. One more time, call, actually two more times, call 888-643-6400 to grow your business this year with ACT. That's 888-643-6400 or visit ACT.com. I want to tell you about an amazing podcast from Stitcher called Dear Franklin Jones. Do you know anything about that show, Chris?
I do not.
Growing up, reporter Jonathan Hirsch's family was a little different. They followed a controversial spiritual leader named Franklin Jones. To Jonathan's parents, Franklin Jones was a god, but to people outside the group, he was a cult leader. Join Jonathan.
Boy, that's just like you and me.
Exactly. And I've listened to the show, by the way, and it is fantastic. Join Jonathan on a journey to find out what really happened and whether the group really did become a cult. You can binge all the episodes now before the series finale airs this week. Listen to all 7 episodes of Dear Franklin Jones in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, which I'm guessing is Stitcher.
It's a beautiful show. Just go listen. Well, we're back. That was an ad, but we're back with the actual content. Leela Day, who is currently at Pineapple and has had a really interesting career as a journalist and I would say a leader in engaging more people in the process and the business and the journalism involved in making audio. Leela, you went from KALW, the public radio station, to Al Jazeera. I think that was last year. And I know Al Jazeera has gone through a bunch of changes in the way they handle journalism in North America and outside of the more traditional areas that they've covered. Why did you go there and what did you hope to accomplish there?
So I left KALW because I was very much involved in the Stoop podcast and wanted to take some time to really, really figure out, you know, how to launch that successfully. And in that time, Al Jazeera started launching Jetty. And a colleague of mine who is the executive producer there, Julie Kane, asked if I would come on board as an editor for their very first podcast, which was Closer Than They Appear with Carvel Wallace. So it was this idea, we all came together and, you know, we were interested in this idea of how to tell a story using a writer, but also incorporating interviews in there. And I just thought that'd be a really great challenge and I wanted to do that. And so I edited that show for them And it was a really great experience. And then, you know, I decided, you know, that I was ready to take a plunge and try out, have some pineapple.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get to pineapple in a second. They're close collaborators with ours on a couple of different projects, most recently Heaven's Gate. But I think I have gotten this out of order because I really wanted to make sure I ask you about the stoop. I was just listening this morning and thinking about talking to you, and it's a really lively and beautifully made show. And I have to say, the time just passes so swiftly by when you guys are telling me, giving me a window into a culture that I know very little about and should know more about.
Can you give our listeners the kind of log line for this too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the stoop is stories about the Black diaspora that aren't talked about enough. So we mix journalism with storytelling and music. We do a lot of interviewing. At first, we had this idea that we were going to sit on people's literal stoops and have these conversations. Mm-hmm. But sound-wise, that did not work out well. It sounded really cute on paper. But yeah. We tried it, and there was like airplanes and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, the stoop we had that we're in our second season. It's super exciting. I work with Hana Baba. We call ourselves the scarf and the fro. She she wears a hijab, and I have an afro. And you know, she's African. I'm African American. And it's this idea that, you know, people think, you know, that blackness is a monolith, and you mm-hmm. know, if you're black, you're black. But we have very different black experiences. So we try to bring that out a little bit. And it's cool because, like you said, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be black to understand or enjoy the show. It's for everyone.
You two have such a good rapport. And it, you know, I know that hours of editing and thinking through the episode and the arcs of each story that you tell are behind all this. But it really felt like a very natural overheard conversation among two people who have strong positions and a lot of curiosity. Your first episode, I think, was about whether or not African Americans should be wearing African clothing. And I thought, wow, I never have thought about what the intersection of that is and how people might have different opinions about it. And it was really illuminating.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that actually Hana is the host of Cross Currents, which is KALW's daily news magazine. So that's how, you know, we came up with the idea for the stoop. We'd have these conversations at work about, like, did you see that you know, that Twitter, you know, post about black people shouldn't be wearing like African clothing? And we would just kind of like be talking about it and then say, you know, we should do something about this. We should do a story about this, you know, yeah. But not really understanding mm-hmm. how to do it because it's opinion. But then, you know, we figured out like how to do something based on opinion or a blog post or something and incorporate like the history and the journalism in there to make it like more well-rounded. But that's how we come up with our ideas. We'll be like, did you hear that? Did someone tell you this? That sort of thing.
Well, so then, but you actually had to turn it into a business and a thing that people would get to know about and, you know, through publicity, have a chance to listen to. How did you do that part of it?
Yeah, so one thing that happened is when we started The Stoop, there was a couple of podcast competitions happening. One was NPR Story Lab was looking for new podcasts. And so we received funding for The Stoop. And NPR was super supportive. They, you know, really wanted us to be on All Things Considered and on NPR One. And they were really great in helping push us out in the beginning. And so we launched on Code Switch, mm-hmm. Which was really helpful for the podcast. Anyone considering starting a podcast, like one thing to do is to partner with someone who already has, you know, an audience, and especially an audience that is similar to your demographic, and you know, partner with them. That really helped. And yeah, so right now, like every episode that we're doing, we are collaborating with people. We've collaborated with PRI, you know, and BBC.
And that Story Lab grant, that grant from them, that wasn't the only grant the show received, right?
Yeah, we also got some money from Cal Humanities, which is a California-based grant organization. And so that was really helpful as well, yeah.
And are you, I'm relieved to hear, it sounds like you're at work on a season two.
We are. We launched season two a couple weeks ago. and we're deep in it. And we have an episode coming up, which is a collaboration with 99% Invisible. We're really excited about, and yeah, we're deep in it right now.
And how do you, when you think about, okay, we've done season one, we feel it was successful. Did you and Hannah sit down and say, well, these are the things we want to do different, or did you have a, we've got this formula, let's run with it approach?
I don't know. We were definitely like, let's rip it apart and criticize the hell out of each other and just like, you know, completely bash ourselves so we can make it better. That's how I work, I guess.
Yeah.
We like totally, you know, just sat there and thought like, what worked well with this episode? What didn't? You know, what are we trying to do here? Well, you know, one of the things with podcasting too is people don't think about this is like, we had this idea to incorporate journalism and really intense storytelling and a lot of interviews in each episode. And I'm not sure if listeners always hear that, you know? Mm. Like sometimes we get this feedback, which is like, we just want to hear you guys talking more. Mm-hmm. Or we just want to hear, you know, they're okay with less of the, you know, interviews that we're doing even. They just want to hear like opinion. That's something we've had to think about.
That fascinates me. Why do you think that is? I have a theory, but I want to hear your theory.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear yours. Okay, well, I think that people feel like more of a personal connection when they hear our opinion about things. They feel a little bit closer to us as hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel that there's so much chatter right now in podcasting that people don't really recognize those shifts sometimes when you're hearing like a new character, because if you as a narrator can bring up an opposing point of view and then the other narrator can, you know, take another stance, then sometimes people don't think that they don't need to hear another voice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, there's the two contrasting views right there.
My theory is related to that, actually, and I think it's just an add-on to your theory. And the add-on is maybe the medium of listening through earbuds is so intimate that it's simply satisfying when you find two people that you really like and who clearly like each other. Even when they're arguing, they like each other, that you're so happy to be inside that relationship. I'm not using this show as an example, by the way. You're so happy to be inside their relationship that you just... you're right. The differences, all the things outside those two people at the center of that show start to melt away.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I say, like, where's the story and the scene and the sound?
Yes.
Right? You know, then that gets lost. And I think that's something that I'm battling with a little bit in what's going on right now with podcasting, because a lot of it is people wanting that experience that you just shared. But for me as a producer, I want to take you somewhere sonically. I want you to hear someone else's voice. I want you to hear, you know, from someone that you think that, you know, I would have never been able to find that person on my own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear that in The Stoop, I will say. I really felt it in listening.
But so you'd worked at a variety of journalism jobs. You'd been at Al Jazeera, which you had taken that role so you could work as an editor while focusing on the development of The Stoop. What made you decide the time was right to join up with Pineapple, and how did that all come about?
Well, I actually contributed to Women of the Hour a couple of times within the past year.
With Lena Dunham. Right.
With Lena Dunham, yeah. And Women of the Hour is a podcast that's one of Pineapple Street's podcasts. And I had sent my pieces to Jenna Weiss-Berman,
yep,
who is one of the founders of Pineapple Street. And she just really liked the pieces that I did. And actually one of them was about saying I love you in prison. You know, it was going into the prison and asking the guys about, do they tell other men that they love them, and what that, and if they grew up hearing the words "I love you," and another was about little girls dancing in church, and they were both non-narrated pieces because I really enjoy making pieces that sometimes I just don't want my voice in the piece, you know, I just want
I feel that way about Lex.
It took about 1 second longer than I expected, but there it was.
He got you. You know, yeah, how can you guys make a non-narrated show? That'd be interesting.
It could only get better.
But I know what you mean, that so much audio is narrated to death, right?
Right. And I actually really enjoy trying the challenge of making a piece without my voice in it. Jenna really, she really liked some of the work that I'd done. She asked me if I wanted to be part of the team. And I was very, very excited about it. It's a huge, you know, challenge, and it'll be different for me because they're working on a little bit more longer form podcasts. And mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it.
Do you have a beat, or are there shows that you're sort of attached to now that you can talk about a little bit, or something in the future that you're excited about?
Well, there are some things that are going to be announced soon, some collaborations, which are extremely exciting that I'm going to be working on. So I can't really give that much detail about that. And I'm also working with Dan Tversky, who... Yeah, so I'm working on a project with him as well. I'll be a senior producer there working on some of their longer form content. So it's something I've been really wanting to do.
I mean, if you want to break some news here, we're happy to have you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could.
Don't tell Nick Kwa, tell us.
I wish I could.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's going to be I'm excited to see what you're going to do there. I mean, I feel like it's exciting just to talk to you because you have such an interesting background, and you bring so many different parts of journalism and also just engagement with the world into the world of audio that I think Pineapple made a smart move to hire you.
I totally agree.
It's a shame they don't listen.
Now you're based in Northern California, is that right?
I am in Northern California right now, and I'll be moving to New York in a couple months.
Well, that invalidates my next question about Pineapple branching out with more remote employees. So never mind, forget it. You ruined it, but it's fine. It's fine.
Sorry.
All right. Before we let you go, we like to ask a couple of standard questions that are there to help people who are perhaps at an earlier stage in their careers trying to think about how to advance in the world of audio, how to make their own shows, that sort of thing. Is there something that you wish someone had told you or that you'd known about when you first started getting into audio, or even as recently as getting started on the stoop?
I think one thing that I think about is when I first started audio, it felt like there was these like sort of radio audio celebrity people who I was like so intimidated by, and you know, didn't want to, you know, didn't look them in the eye, and you know, that sort of thing. And it's so refreshing to know like that everyone has been in the same exact place where mm-hmm. you start as a beginner, where you don't know where to put it, where your story starts, where you don't even know if you have a story, where you pitch an idea and someone laughs at you. Like, everyone has been there, even, you know, the most seasoned people. So I wish someone would just tell me, just to remind me, like, everyone has been in that dark and distant place that you think that you're in, you know?
Yeah.
And not to be afraid to just like reach out to people, even if they don't respond to you, like just do it. It's just, you just got to do it. And I feel like there was a moment for me in my career where I was just like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to ask so-and-so. I'm going to call so-and-so. You know, I was just really, you know, kind of driven. And then with podcasting, I think one of the things that I wish people would talk a little bit more about is just, the business side of it. And it sounds so boring when I even just say the business side of it, but it's just like, you literally have to understand marketing, promotion, like you have to understand where your money's coming from. You have to be super organized. And there's one side of it, which is, you know, making the producing the content, which is the side that I absolutely love, but you have to absolutely love the business side too. You have to be good at it.
That's great advice. Leela, where can our listeners follow you online?
Yeah, I'm at Leela De Leela on Twitter. I know. It's a random handle.
And Leila is L-E-I-L-A.
Yeah, L-E-I-L-A, Day, Leila. Yeah, and you
and
know,
they should
you
search
can
for the
us...
Stoop podcast wherever they listen to podcasts, right?
Yeah, the Stoop podcasts.
And can I reach out and offer to buy you a beer when you move to New York?
Oh my gosh, yes. I definitely want to have, but don't spill it over onto the recording.
Oh. That happened off mic, but yes, it was Chris who did it. Let's go with that.
That's a great callback, and I'll settle my score with Lex later. Thank you, Leila, for joining us today. It's been really wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks also to Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell in the booth. Don't forget to subscribe to The Wolf Den at earwolf.com, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts. We love you very much.
Hey everyone, Scott Aukerman here, host of Comedy Bang Bang, and thanks for listening to this show. And I want to tell you, I have a great episode of my show, Comedy Bang Bang, floating around out there in the internet. Our good friend John Hamm, the madman himself, he's out talking about his new movie, Beirut. And we have Paul F. Tompkins and Jess McKenna and Zach Reno from the Off Book podcast. It was a really fun time, and it's a good episode. So go check it out. You can subscribe to Comedy Bang Bang on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever, honestly, you want to. I'm not here to tell you where to do it. Or I guess I just did. Anyway, Comedy Bang Bang, John Hamm this week. Check it out.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.